We sent out the PDF last night, thank you to David, and this is a piece that comes from the second volume, which is where he has stuff on the holidays, and he has a chapter which we actually used last year. I checked back on the recordings. The pre-Pesach year last year was in the chapter before that, which was Hilchos Chag, the Haggadah Shel Pesach, kind of introduction to Pesach stuff, but then he has a chapter, Perek Shvi'i, which is called Pesach, and it's actually made up of three separate kind of little pieces. So the last one is the one that we'll do today. And this is, I found it's not that long, and it's a really, really interesting and powerful piece. So let's jump in. Says Rav Obi as follows. Afanachnu, avodaseinu b'leil ha-seder, hi lahagia al yidei yitzias Mitzrayim, le'amitas atzmeinu kifi yicholteinu. Right? If you ask yourself, what is the goal of the Seder? What is the goal of the whole Pesach experience, but especially specifically the Seder, says Rav Obi, the goal is to try to, so to speak, get closer to who we really are, to fulfill our potential, to really, so to speak, look inward and use the opportunity as a moment of growth. How does he know this? I mean, that's not, if I had asked you all a moment ago, what's the goal of the Seder, I don't think anyone would have given me that answer. But he says that you just have to open up your eyes and look at the texts, which we're all familiar with. After all, the Mishnah tells us, Bechol Dor V'Dor, Chai Varum Lerusis Atzmo Kilu, Hu Yatzami Mitzrayim. Right? The mitzvah, or the characteristic of the mitzvah of the Seder, is that we have, and we mentioned this in the Haggadah, is that we have to see ourselves as if we ourselves, you have to look at yourself as if you went out of Mitzrayim. Now that's itself astounding, and how do we even know that? So the Mishnah tells us, Shenemar, Yivgadikal Avincha B'yomahu Leimor, Bavorze As Hashem, Li B'tesimi Mitzrayim. And we say that every single year, not just the generation of the Midbar, of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Says Rav Obi, what do you see from this? Li, zuhi nekudas hamerkaz shel ha'agadah. This is the end of the whole purpose. Yeah, it's true that we're remembering something in the past, but the focus and the goal is not the past. The goal is not the commemoration. The goal is, through the commemoration, what impact will it have on us? And he has another proof for this from the very famous section of the Haggadah of the four sons. After all, there are four different psukim, four different parshas in the Torah where we mention, somebody asking, the son asking the father, and one of the texts is Misha Shaal. One of them is Maha Avodah Hazos Lachem. Now, as you know, when you're reading the Torah text and in the Chumash, right, there's no sign that says, "Oh yeah, this is the Rasha, this is the Chacham." Right? We don't really know. It's a famous question: who wrote the Haggadah? Where did the Haggadah come from? There's, I think, six or seven different opinions about exactly who wrote the Haggadah, but we'll just for now call it the Baal Haggadah, and a long time ago. So when they reorganized and edited the Haggadah a long time ago, so then they pick, okay, this question, this is going to be the Rasha, this is the Chacham, this is the Tam Shein Yehi Lishol, right? But so this particular question, we know, of course, Ma'avod Azos Lachem, we're all familiar with it, as Rav Obi quotes. That's what the Haggadah says. That's the Rasha. So what's the key? And everyone asks the famous question: what's the difference between the Rasha and the Chacham? They're all basically asking the same question: what's going on here? And of course, the emphasis, as we all know, as we already see hinted in the Haggadah itself, is because the question that is attributed to the Rasha is not taking any personal connection to it or personal interest. Mahavod Azos Lachem. What's your work? And as Rav Obi points out, again, just paraphrasing the Haggadah, Asa Atzmo Rasha. As we continue on, we say back to the sun, As Lachem V'lo Lo. The Fishahoti is Atzmo Menaklal Kafar Be'ikar. And therefor Hika Shinav V'amr Lo Bavor Zas Hashem Li B'Mitzrayim Li V'lo Lo Ilu Haya Hashem Lo Haya Nigal. In other words, what do we see from all of this? He has three different sources. Again, they're all connected. One was the Mishnah, one was the Pasuk, and then one is the further Pasuk, which we attribute to the Rasha. All three of them are making the same point, that both in the original Yitzias Mitzrayim, and more pertinently for us, in the process of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which we commemorate year after year at the Pesach Seder, what is supposed to be the focus, our energy, our orientation, on what this means to me, what impact this will have on me. And therefore the Rasha, who Dafka is looking at it from a distance, what's it mean for you? This is already a definition of being a Rasha. And Rav Obi just sums up and he says, "Afilu imhu mitayein v'shoal al avoda." Even if he's really interested, we're not talking about the kid who's on his phone at dinner. Right? You're talking to them and they're not there. Right? Welcome to parenting in 2024. Right? We're not talking about that. Even if somebody's interested, they're involved. They ask good questions. They're interested in the answers. Achlo kedei lahagia es advarim el atzmo. But he sees it as an academic thing. It's interesting. It's historical. It's cultural. It's relevant to you. Einu yachol yos negal. Then that person is removed. That person is excluded. Nebuch. He's not going to have the redemptive experience. Now, where does this come from? This idea that something that we thought, and it's not a crazy thing to have thought 5 minutes ago, we thought that the purpose of the Seder, the purpose of the Haggadah, is to remember what happened, to commemorate what happened, and now you're telling me that there's this very personalized and present tense focus. What does it mean to me now? How can it impact me now? Where do we get that? Okay, so he has these three diukim, this posuk, that posuk, the Mishnah, but where does it come from? Where is this idea from that Mechitesi, as we would say, that there's this necessity or even possibility the events that happened all those thousands of years ago somehow are going to have a direct bearing on me. To remember history, I understand. You don't even have to explain to me that hard why it's important to remember history. I get it. It's important to remember history. But he's not talking about remembering history. He's talking about how history is going to change me, what remembering these events are supposed to do to me. That's the goal. Where does he get this from? So he shares a remarkable Ramchal. The idea he's about to share from the Ramchal, it was worth it for me personally to learn this piece, just because I never knew about this Ramchal. The idea is a famous idea. I mention it all the time. I think I even mentioned it in some shurim in the last week, which I often attribute to, accurately. It's a very popular idea in Chassidus. The Sfas Emes, Rav Tzadok, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, they all talk about this idea that I'm about to share with you. I didn't know until Rav Volbi quotes it here that maybe I'll find out a year from now that there's an even earlier source. But for now, I learned that the makor for all the Chassidus Rebbes is a Ramchal. What's this idea that you'll find in many sources, especially Chassidus sources, but evidently comes from the Ramchal? As it follows, next paragraph. Where is this idea, again, just to understand the question, this idea that this event that happened all these years ago, the reason it's important for me to remember it is because it somehow, it can impact me. Where does that come from? What's the source for such a thing? So he says, Makor hachiyuv liros es atzmo kilu yatzmo Mitzrayim. This idea that I have to see if I went out of Mitzrayim, and somehow, like, I'm not just pretending, it's just this play acting. It's just like little girls having a tea party, Shabbos Abba. Like, where does it come from? That it sounds like we're talking about something much more tangible, much realer than that. Where does that come from? It comes from an idea that the Ramchal says in Derech Hashem. Second line, I quote, Shoresh kulam, hu seder shesidra hachachma helyona. That God created the world in such a way in which there's a pattern. Shekol tikun shenetaken v'or gadol shehir b'zmanmi azmanim. And the pattern is such that at any point in time where God decides to provide a certain light that he shares with the world, or a certain other positive energy force, a tikun that he shares with the world, b'shuv tkufas azman hahu, when that same period of time repeats, ya'ir eleinu or me'ein, or Harishon. That same light, even if it was originally revealed 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, but it is re-exposed, re-revealed on the same date, on that same time, forever and ever and ever again. Utuchudash told us HaTikun Hahu Kifishit Kiblo. And just like the people who originally benefited, who were originally present for that Tikun, for that Or, were able to benefit, so too every year when that Or re-emerges during that same period, everyone who's alive then, and 100 years later or 1,000 years later, to the extent that they take advantage of it, they can also benefit. And Ramchal himself quotes the core of all this is Pesach. That's why on Pesach he says we are obligated b'chol enyanim shenistavinu, all the mitzvahs on Pesach and all the remembers of Zecher Yeshayahu Mitzrayim. Why? Kibiosa tikunahu tikun gadolmo chenitaknubo, because of course the benefits of Yetzias Mitzrayim, becoming the amanivchar, becoming free, not avdei para but avdei Hashem, all that stuff. Right, it's the most foundational holiday in a certain sense. But as a result of that, and all that emerged during Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hukva, it became established as a permanent energy, a permanent reality, metaphysical reality, but permanent reality in the universe. Shebeshuv tkufas hazman, that any time that period repeats itself, Hahu ya'ir aleinu or me'enu or she'ir az, Hashem will reveal a form, maybe slightly diluted, but a form of that exact same light that was revealed during Yetzias Mitzrayim will be revealed every single year afterwards on the same date. Utchudash bo told us also atikun, and the same benefits can be achieved. Alkein nitchayavnu ba'osam hanyanim kulam, says the Ramchal. And that's why we have all the mitzvos that we have to do in general for Yetzias Mitzrayim, but specifically at the Seder night. Says Rav Volbi, summarizing this, Hare skulas lel ha-Seder, who? Shigam anachnu yicholim lios bo yotzei Mitzrayim mamish. So in fact, the same energy and the same spiritual life force that was revealed into the world that allowed the Jewish people to leave Mitzrayim, it is revealed. It was revealed last year on the Tetzav of Nisan, and it will be revealed again this year on Tetzav of Nisan, and revealed the year afterwards on Tetzav of Nisan, and every year before and every year since. That there is a form, again, we can't see it, but if we had, you know, spiritual X-ray vision, maybe we could. We could do an X-ray, an MRI machine somehow of the universe, and we could see spiritual, you know, waves. We would know that there is the same exact energy and koach that was produced in the world that allowed Yetzias Mitzrayim all those years ago. Every single year is Nischadesh and the night Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now this idea, which again I had heard previously from various Hasidic masters, and apparently way before them was the Ramchal. As I said, I think maybe it was in the Menshir this week, I can't remember where I quoted this idea, that the way I explain it, the way I understand it, I think it's a helpful metaphor, is that Jewish history is like an ascending spiral staircase. Right? The circumference of this spiral is 12 months, but and we're progressing through history. We're not in the same place we were 100 years ago. We're not in the same place we were a year ago. Right? History is moving. But it moves along the same pattern. Each time we're moving to the next stage, but we're still circling the exact same point. We're still hitting the same points. And therefore, when we hit to that point called Tetzav Nisan or Pesach, even if we're all the way up there in terms of the advance of history, but we're actually in the same, the X and the Y axis, right? But on one of them, we're exactly the same place that we were the year before, and all the way back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, each time you hit, so when you hit Purim, there's a certain energy, a certain spiritual force that can be accessed on Purim. When you hit Pesach, when you hit Shavuos, each time there's a certain, again, there's no guarantees. Just like, unfortunately, there's no guarantees in Yetzias Mitzrayim. 80% of the people didn't go out. There's really no guarantee you're going to take advantage of it. It's not automatic. It's not a freebie. It's a gift, but not a freebie. You have to take advantage of it. You got to grab it. But there's a certain energy. So the koach of Shichrur, the koach of being able to be Yotzei from Meitzarim, from Mitzrayim, right? We're all enslaved in something. That power, again, now, could the slave break free? You know, could have an Alcatraz jailbreak in September? You could. But apparently, specifically, at this period, there's a certain energy, a certain life force, a certain spiritual force in the world, which allows for, which is designed for allowing people to break free from that which enslaves them, in the most intense form, in the original, in the original form, it was the original Yetzias Mitzrayim, and now it repeats itself every single year. That's the Chiddush of Revolvi. And therefore, he says, of the Ramchal, Al Yisod Zeb Benuya Kol HaGadah. Now, if we understand that, everything makes sense. HaChacham Beno Sho'alo. V'meinu Chacham, he quotes here from the Mishnah, and the Gemara, I should say, which is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, which is, how come there's such an obsession with questions? You have a smart son, have him ask you. Another son ask you. You have no children, have your wife ask you. You have no wife, ask yourself. Ask myself, I'm playing charades. Why is there such an obsession with questions? Let me just read and learn. This is, to me, I've said this many times in our learning together on these Fridays, that aside from the psychological insights, which we all knew, and the spiritual insights we knew that Revolvi had, he's famous for, until we started this limud 3 years ago, I didn't realize how big of a Talmid Chacham Revolvi was. And I say that because he doesn't just know like the Musar sources. Okay, he's supposed to know that he's a Mashgiach. And he doesn't just know Gemaras that are like Musar Gemaras. Like, okay, he should know that too. But he makes these incredible Musar points by drawing out like Gemaras and things which are completely out of left field. Like you have to be a Mamzer Baki Bishas to be able to do some of the things he does. This is exactly an example of that, right? You've all heard the question, no pun intended, of why there's so many questions at the Seder. Why is that such an important thing? Right? He's not the first person to ask that question. But look where he pulls from to give you an answer. A Gemara in Sanhedrin that has nothing to do with Pesach and nothing to do with questioning directly at all. What's the Gemara talking about? This is quoting a Pasuk, which is when Shaul was in one of his depressed states and called the fight with David. And Doeg tells him what seems to be ostensibly six compliments about David HaMelech. Or not yet Melech. But the Gemara darshins that he was really trying to do Lashon Hara. By complimenting David these six times, he's really trying to make Shaul jealous to incite Shaul against David. Okay, that's the context. So there, the pasuk is, V'yan echad mehanarim, he talks about that. There's this kid V'yomer hinei re'iti ben Yishai beis alachmi, the son of Yishai from Beis Lechem. And what does he start telling him? He starts giving him some of the compliments. Yodea nagein, he knows how to play the harp, the gibor chayol, etc., etc., etc. In the end, there are six things. So the Gemara then darshans that each of these would seem to be six compliments, but really ways of talking about certain things that David had, which would hopefully make Shaul jealous. And none of them to take in at face value. So the Gemara says, Yoa nagein, what does that mean? They knew how to play the harp? Yodea lishal. He was stark in learning. He would, you know, the Rebbe would give a shir, and David HaMelech would ask the best question to upslug the shir. Gibor, what does it mean that David HaMelech was a gibor? Shodei Lahashiv. And also, if the Rebbe asked the question in the shir, who's the one who knew how to answer? It was always David HaMelech. Right, so those are the first two of the six. Again, the Gemara continues, it gives the other four too, but that's not important for us. Okay, Gemara in Sanhedrin, Sadi Gimel Amud Beis. So that's the Gemara that's relevant for us. David HaMelech ostensibly is complimented as being a warrior and a harp player, and we understand that to mean that the harp player means he knows how to ask good questions. So now at least you see where we're going with this. But ask Rav Olbi, Nagina, Malin Nagina im Yadia Lishol, right? I mean, the Gemara makes it, you know, does all sorts of things in Drush that we don't really, you know, there has to be some basis. You know, Rand, well, the Gemara, David HaMelech is a warrior, yeah, that means, you know, he was really good at math. I mean, what's one of the, there has to be some basis for Chazal's Drusha. So a pasuk says he knows how to play a harp, and from this you learn that he can ask Rabbi Kimegar's kasha. Where did the Gemara get that from? So here's a profound insight from Rav Olbi. Heviomer, negina, his oris nafshi. Right? Why is it that music's so powerful? Right? What is the power? What's the magic of music? It says music is the language of being mitorer. Right? The right song for the right person at the right moment is inspiring. It brings you to another place. Sometimes it reminds you of things in the past. It gives you the ability to dream of the future. That's the power of music. The zuhi gamkein inyan hayadia lishol. That idea of his orus, being able to move to be in another place, that's the essence of questioning. Kedei lishol, tzarech leitorer. Someone who has no ability to, so to speak, move, to be aroused, also has no ability to ask. If you're happy with where you are, then there's no questions. Kind of a subconscious premise and prerequisite, I should say, to questioning is the openness and perhaps even the interest, but at least the openness to then, based on the answer, being in some other place. And that's why, says Rav Olbi, fitting with everything we've been saying until now, that's why questions are such a central part of the Haggadah. If the whole goal is not just to review what happened. We want to experience, halavaya national, but at least a personal redemption. We want to have a redemptive experience. What does that mean? It means we want to be different after that night. Geula muchracha, l'hatchil im hisoros nafshit. And again, I've mentioned this, I'm sure, in the past in some of these shurim. I've used this line on my students over the years, and it's like a consistent thing, my wife with her students every year, where, you know, at some point in the year, you know, I just want to be inspired. You know, they're not necessarily doing as much as they should be. I just want to be inspired. But if you just wait, you can't wait, you know, that's not enough. Right? You actually have to do something. You know, that's what he's saying. You have to have a historic. Just sitting around waiting passively and then hoping that somehow someone will proverbially tap you on the shoulder at the kotel, it could happen, but it's not a recipe for success. Right? What do they say? Hope is not a strategy. Right? So here, he's making the same point. You have to go into the Haggadah. You have to go into the... Everyone, who doesn't want a meaningful Seder? You can't just show up and expect it to happen. You just have to start with the his orus nafshit. Mish'enu mit'orer likrat ha'gula, enu yachol ligal. It's self-fulfilling prophecy. If you go into it wanting to be moved, wanting to be inspired, and therefore are going to ask the questions and do the things which are necessary, then it's possible. Hamit orer yachol lehargisha advarim nogim elav, because that person then, when they ask the questions, when they do the divrei Torah, they do the stories, the song, it'll all be through the schema, it'll all be being filtered through, what does this mean to me? What does this say to me? That's the key to everything. And this is exactly what it means that even us on our level can be Yotzei Mitzrayim all these years later. We can, so to speak, meet the Shekhinah like they did then. Now, the last part of the piece is, I'll just, since I don't want to go too much longer, I'll paraphrase a little bit of it, then we'll see a little bit more inside. But he now asks the last part of the piece is where he asks the following question. Now that we know what the goal is, and that there's this idea of the spiritual staircase in history, and that when we get to the Seder night, a week from Monday night. So now we know that there's this power, it's there, and the goal is to see how can recalling those events, what is it will do for me. So he says, but still, this, where do we get this koach? More than that, this idea of incredible Hesorus, says Rav Volpe, don't we often say that it's better in religious growth, if you want to have a long-term sustained growth, not to necessarily jump too far too fast, step by step. And it seems like at the Seder we're putting a lot of balls in one basket, and we're assuming that there could be some huge Hesorus, some huge leap. Where would I get this from? How am I going to have such a power? So says Rav Volpe, as he turns on to the next page, he says, this is really because Hashem is really modeled this for us, and it's kind of a mahu afata, that Hashem, so to speak, did that on that night in Tiyat Mitzrayim, and that is what enables us to do that. Where do we see that from? So if you turn the page, he quotes the Rashi in Parshas Bo. Right? The Pasuk there is talking about preparing the people for Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Pesach, and the Pasuk there says, V'kacha tochlu, this is how you will eat the Pesach. Also, masnechem chagurim, you gird your loins, nalechem beraglechem, your shoes are ready on, mekalchem biyadchem, your walking stick is in your hand, v'achaltem asum chipazon, you'll have to eat it fast. Pesach hu l'Hashem. Now, the end of that pasuk is a little bit of a non sequitur. What's Pesach Hashem? It was not clear in the context. So Rashi explains, HaKarban hu kari Pesach. The karban is called the Pesach. The pasuk, the way Rashi reads this pasuk, the subject of the word Pesach is referring not to the event, but specifically to the sacrifice, to the karban. This karban is called the Pesach. That's how we know it's called the karban Pesach, says the Rashi from this pasuk. Now, why is the karban called the karban Pesach? It is a remembrance. Thank you for not helping me at all, guys. It is a remembrance, but I did get the word on my own eventually. You've heard me say this before, right? When you make aliyah, you become illiterate in two languages. So I have forgotten my English, even as I haven't really learned Hebrew. Anyway, it is a remembrance of how Hashem, so to speak, jumped or skipped over the houses of the Jews. As Rashi says, you could have two Egyptian houses and a Jew in the middle, and he killed the firstborn in the first house, then he skipped the house in the middle, the Jewish house, then went to the next house. So too, adds Rashi, Atem asu kol avodosav, l'shem shamayim derech dilug v'kvitza, zecher l'shmo shekari Pesach. And therefore, that's why we're being told to be so fast, with such alacrity when we're doing the Karban Pesach, just like he, so to speak, jumped and skipped. And this carbon is a remembrance of that. So too, when you're doing the carbon, everything you do for that carbon should be like Hashem did, as it were, jumping and skipping. No, it doesn't mean literally jumping and skipping. This is not like Kiddush Lavana or a mosh pit or big yeshiva chagiga. It means doing it fast. So says Rav Volpe. With this, we conclude the last paragraph. So summing it up, what do we see from this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu berachamei ma'abata Yisrael, in His great mercy for us, He jumped, so to speak, He skipped over the houses of the Jews on that fateful night. So too, therefore, the Jewish people are tosin b'midah zu, we grab this midah. And therefore, we have to do everything on the Leil of Pesach, also, as it were, by jumping and skipping. And that is the last comment that Rashi had made. That's l'shem shamayim. What does it mean, l'shem shamayim? Basher ha'ara zu mitchadeshes mishana l'shana b'leil ha'seder. As we previously saw, that the spiritual force, this light that was brought into the world originally on the 15th of Nisan, each year the spiritual spiral staircase gets re-revealed in the world again on that night. Gam kol shana kadosh baruch hu kevyochol medaleg el harei mikafes al gavos. Just like every other, just like he did that year, so to every year, kadosh baruch hu, as it were, what's one of the kochot, what's one of the powers, one of the energy life forces that's brought into the world? This ability, so to speak, to jump, to skip. Chen gam hayom ha'avodo b'layla zehi derech dilug v'kvitza. And even though usually we say throughout the year, we're in this harim kvitzo, don't jump too fast. I've told you, I think in the past, the story when I was in Shana Aleph, and it was still Elul, if I'm not mistaken. If anything, it was the beginning of the night's winter mizman. I think it was Elul. And I was so proud of myself, because I just got to the point where I could learn until 10 o'clock at night. I could actually do night seder. But the second night seder officially was over, I was back in the dorm, we're hanging out with the guys, schmoozing. had this memory for some reason. I think somebody was giving someone a haircut. And one of our friends who had gotten already like overdrive, like an hour or two later, came back. He's like yelling at us, giving us mussar. Like, what were we doing? Why are we already back? I was like, chill, dude. Just chill, okay? Like, I made it to 10 o'clock. Anyway, sad story. P.S., not even a year later, he was not from. And he's still, there's no good end to that story. He's 50 years old, he's still not from. He learned like crazy until he burnt himself out in Shalvim. By the time he was in YU, he wasn't from, and he's never been from again. Right? So jumping too fast has its dangers. Right? It has its dangers. So Ravolbi is very, very aware of that. But one night a year, he says, this is the night of jumping. This is the night not just to dream about being a little bit better. This is the night to dream about greatness, to see really the Shechina should be in us. And this certainly speaks to us this year, perhaps more than recent years. We really, as a nation, national freedom, right? We shouldn't be under the thumb of our enemies or our so-called friends. I'm not sure at the moment which one's worse. Lios ach v'rak avdei Hashem, that we should not be avdei the UN, avdei the US, but only avdei Hashem. Kol yamin bli shum shiurin, all in, as we might say. Bekdusha v'tara, on a national level, on a personal level. That is what it means that we should try to have this night l'shem shamayim. Hava nishkach mikat nuseinu, let's, for at least one night, ditch, let's throw overboard our small-mindedness, our very modest goals. Let's dream of being mamish like the Jewish people were that night. With true greatness and true pride. Truly attached to Hashem. And now, this is perhaps the most important line. If this we literally conclude. Im nasigo lo. Now with all that said, he got you pumped up. You're ready to run out for the game. That was, this is Ravolbi's version of the great coach speech before the game. You're ready to run through a wall for that coach. But Sister Roby, just because you had a great speech before, just because you got a great pregame speech, doesn't mean you're going to win. Im nasi golo. Let's go into the Seder pumped, looking to capture some of the spiritual energy that's unique to that night and achieve great things. Whether we end up achieving it or not, im nasi golo. But let us be the type that wants to, that's aspiring to it, that's going for it. Let's go for it. What do we have to lose? Zeo leil shimurim shel chag matzot. Emer to Hashem, hopefully, he says, we'll go from that Haggadah. Those who have the minhag at the end to say Shir HaShirim, which is all about super intense experiences with Hashem. Hopefully we'll be successful. But even if we're not, there's no shame in trying for something great. And this is the night, like Hashem, so to speak, jumped over us, and everything happened in a hurry. We can jump over levels. Usually we have to take it step by step, level by level. This is the night. But again, it all starts with the first half of the piece, which is being aware that there's a spiritual energy that is reinvigorated into the, so to speak, metaphysical cosmos every single year. And that the whole focus, again, let's not forget how we started the piece. The whole focus of the Haggadah, therefore, is not just the historical commemoration. But what does it mean to me? Bavor az Hashem li. Mavor az azos li. Not lachem, but li. If we have that focus, because we, just like they went out, so too we can be freed. We all have our own things that we're enslaved to. I made a joke before about the technology of the phone, but that's not a joke, unfortunately. And there's other more serious things, God forbid, that people can be enslaved to. Some people are enslaved to their temper, they're enslaved to their taiva, they're enslaved to their... People are enslaved to lots of things. And this is the night where that ability to break free from the things that enslave us, we have that energy and that possibility more than any other night of the year. Mirz Hashem, we should all be inspired and have this chus to inspire our children and our grandchildren.